We're getting a late start on sermon today. So I may skip a lot of stuff that I've got here. Just to try to expedite things. I actually don't have scriptures for you, but we're in the book of Matthew chapter 9. So you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And you guys grabbing Bibles? Okay, why don't you go ahead and pray for us. Father, I thank you that you are here. The God of the universe is here in this room. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for such a privilege of being able to come to you and talk to you and hear from what you have actually said, because this word is your word and you have spoken in it, and thank you for the privilege of getting to hear it. Please, God, open our hearts. Please send your spirit, fill us, and may your spirit speak through the word of God today. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Operation World, it's a missions organization, deals with kind of what's going on in the world, says that today the nation with the fastest growing church in the world by percentage is, anyone want to guess?
Iran.
Iran. Okay. Mm-hmm. Iran is the nation with the fastest growing church in the world. By that I mean Muslims coming to faith in Jesus. And so more Muslims in Iran have converted to become Christians in the past 50 years than have happened in the past 13 centuries. That's saying something. Mm-hmm. That is the work of God. There's no other way to describe that. Mm-hmm. That is just flat out the work of God. Mm-hmm. And so how do people react to that? It's amazing when you see what's going on there. And so many people are amazed at what's going on. But the Iranian government is not amazed.
No.
What do they say about this? Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, here's what he said. The house churches threaten the Islamic faith and deceive young Muslims. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. So we have a great work of God, and then we have two very different responses to this great work of God. Matthew 9, verse 32 through 34, says, as they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, never was anything like this seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the prince of demons. We have a great work of God and two very different responses to that great work of God. We've already seen now that this whole section that we've been preaching in chapters 8 and 9 are really focused on the authority of Christ. And he has been doing all kinds of wonders. This is, in fact, the third time we've seen him cast out demons in chapters 8 and 9 alone. And in prior to verse 32, Jesus had just healed two blind men. And then it says in verse 32, as they were going away, And so the blind men are leaving, and here's Jesus. The blind men leave, and they bring to him, Jesus is a busy guy. They bring to him a demon-oppressed man who was mute. This man may also have been deaf. The word for mute and the word for deaf are the same word. Mm. And so sometimes it means mute, and sometimes it means deaf, and sometimes it means deaf and mute. Mm-hmm. And you just the context tells you. Here, it's pretty obvious, at least he was mute, because Jesus casts out the demons, and the man speaks, and everyone is amazed. So we know mute is part of the meaning. It could also be deaf and mute, but we don't know that officially. But the word allows for that. And so we see Jesus do this marvel. And he casts out Satan. Guys, Satan is strong, but Jesus is stronger. This is part of the authority that he has, that we've been seeing again and again and again and again in this whole section, these past couple of chapters. And Satan may deceive you and corrupt you and hurt you, but Jesus will change you. He undoes what Satan does. And so when Jesus does this, when he changes people, like, let's say, a mute man, how do you respond? Some people respond with amazement. That's verse 33, right? The crowds marveled and said, never was anything like this seen in Israel. So for us today, you mean almost 100 million Chinese now identify as Christians? That's amazing. Jesus changed your friend. He was gay. He now believes. He's no longer gay. And actually, I can give you names of people for whom I know personally that that has happened to. That's amazing. Ollie, I remember him talking about his pastor friend who was an Iranian Muslim, fundamentalist Muslim, came to faith, totally changed, completely changed. People are amazed when I tell them some certain stories from our life. If I tell them the story when Carissa prayed for a red van, which I think you guys have heard that story. I think I've told that here. People are amazed at what God did. When I tell them the story of God healing me and sparing my life, people are amazed. I tell them the story of my mentor, who was a missionary in Africa, praying. There was a drought, and the people, the imams, the Muslim imams, said, "Well, pray to your God, and see if we can get rain because we need rain." And he said, "I will pray." And they got down on their knees and they prayed for rain, and rain came. And they were then at a meeting, and the rain is coming. And the imam said to him, "Tell your God to turn it off. It's too much." And he said, "God knows when to shut it off." Immediately the rain stopped, right then. When I tell that story, people are amazed at what God does. That God actually hears prayer and turns on the rain and turns off the rain at the prayers of his people. That those are amazing things. And you guys, I bet you guys got stories that people are amazed at. What, anyone want to share a story? Short. Like not a 10-minute story. Just a quick story that God did something. And when you think of it, people are amazed at what God did. What? Any example? Yeah, go ahead.
God healed our daughter of migraine headaches. So we didn't know she'd ever be able to live a normal life. It was so bad. A lot of people were praying for her. She went to a church camp. We didn't want her to go, but she wanted to go. So she got a really terrible headache while she was there. She'd missed a lot of school. And they were about to take her to the ER, and they said, let's pray over her first. And it was some of the elders who'd gone, and the youth workers, and all our kids were there. And they just prayed for her, and in the midst of that prayer, she was healed.
Yeah.
And she said, whoa. And they said, what? it was quite a testimony.
It is.
To so many who were praying for her.
It is. Praise the Lord. That's really neat. Guys, when God does stuff, people are amazed. That's what's going on in verse 33. God just did something, and the crowds marvel and say, never have we seen anything like this in Israel. Now, keep in mind that amazement is not salvation. Those are different things. Sometimes we just sort of lump, well, wow, they're responding in a good way, so they must be saved, and that's not necessarily true. For salvation, you actually have to follow Jesus. That's a harder thing than just being amazed. Amazement is just, wow. That's what amazement is. Anybody can say, wow. Amazement really likes Jesus, but it doesn't repent necessarily. It could, but repentance is a separate thing. But amazement by itself is not repentance. And so Jesus is looking for followers, not just fans who like what he says. To follow him, it's going to cost you. And so these people aren't necessarily paying a cost here. They're just seeing a wonder, and it's a natural reaction, just kind of comes out. And so these crowds, if you know the crowd reactions to Jesus throughout the Gospels, not just here, but consistently throughout the Gospels, you get this a lot. There's a lot of amazement at what Jesus has done. But most people in the crowds never commit. And there's a difference between those things. They like him, but that's as far as they're going to go. They just like him. I can give you an example. It's actually an Iranian friend. His name is Davood. And I can remember sharing with him a bunch of stories from our life of God doing things, including the red van story, and including God healing me and sparing my life, and God, a lot anyway. I won't go into all of that. And he was, wow. He was amazed. But he never followed Jesus. He's a Muslim to this day. And when you tell people what God has done, you can expect this kind of reaction. Wow. But wow doesn't mean they're going to follow Jesus. Okay, let's move on for time's sake. Verse 34. There are two responses to Jesus, right? One is amazement. They marvel at what he says. But in verse 34, it says, the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the prince of demons. Now that's a very different response to what Jesus did. That is opposition. It's also blindness. The Pharisees are blind. And it's really sad when you see it. You see, the Pharisees cannot deny the deed. There's the man. Everybody knows he could not talk. And here he is. It doesn't say what he's saying, but I bet he's praising God. And so here's this man, probably shouting the praises of God. And they can't deny it. But what they can do is put a spin on it. And that's what this is. This is a spin. They accept the fact that Jesus casts out a demon. But they give a different reason for it. He casts out demons by the prince of demons. What they are saying is Jesus is demonic. He has power over demons because he himself is demonic. That's a pretty serious accusation that they are leveling against Jesus. Now, this kind of thing happens today too. And we see it here in the text. Notice who is amazed and who is opposing. The crowds are amazed. The Pharisees are opposing. What we've got is everyday people marvel at what Jesus just did, but the elite don't. And now think for a moment, in Iran, who is opposing what God is doing? It's the government, isn't it? They're the main opposers of God changing people's lives for the kingdom of God in your country. The government, they're throwing pastors in prison and calling them terrorists. In China, who is leading the opposition to Christ? It's really the elite, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's leading the opposition to Christ. The everyday people, they don't really care. But it's the elite that are doing this. The government there. It's people who are in ruling positions, or people who have great wealth, or people who have great influence, are most threatened by Jesus. Because they're afraid they might lose what they have. Mm-hmm. When you're in power, you want to hold on to it. And if people start coming to Jesus, you feel threatened. I might lose some influence or power by these people who are changing. And so you start opposing it. That's what's going on with the Pharisees, I believe. That's why they're opposing this. They have a lot of influence within Jewish culture in their day. And now all of these people are going over to Jesus, and he's doing these wonders, and we can't deny them, but, oh man, we need to do something. Damage control. Mm-hmm. Let's put a spin on this. Now, it's true, sometimes elite people actually have faith. And sometimes common people actually show great opposition. So this isn't it's more complicated than I've been painting it. But in general, that's true as a general statement. So anyone can put a spin on what God does. Think of, spins. Religion is the opiate of the people. Karl Marx, right? Mm-hmm. That is a spin on religion, isn't it? God does a great work. Karl Marx says it's just a drug. Mm-hmm. He's interpreting the work of God a certain way. Think of Muslim spins. In Islam, when a Muslim converts to Jesus, how is it described? Shame. I've seen that. Mm-hmm. You're abandoning your family. I've seen that. Mm-hmm. When in reality, actually, the convert may actually love his family more mm-hmm. after he has become a Christian than he did beforehand. But the spin is you're abandoning the family. It's actually the opposite of what probably really is going on, but that's the spin. You're going crazy. I was reading in Afghanistan today that pretty much all Christians in Afghanistan are converts. And by the way, Operation World, the second fastest growing church in the world is Afghanistan.
giant.
Percentage-wise. But anyway, in Afghanistan, if a Muslim converts, they think he's crazy, and they put him in a psychiatric hospital if they don't kill him or do other things to him. And that's common. There are lots of Christians in psychiatric hospitals in Afghanistan today. That's a spin. God does a great work. He's got to be crazy. That's how they see it. Muslim spins, treason, betrayal. You know what that is? He casts out demons by the prince of demons. That's what that is. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing in a modern context. But it's the same idea. That's what's going on. The stuff that happened to Jesus still happens today to God's people. And it's opposing God. Guys, Karl Marx, he's opposing God. When Muslims say you're abandoning your family, or this is treason, or they are opposing God. It's serious. The spin that they put, it's serious. Now, in Western culture, we do this kind of same thing, too. Jalene Hinkle is a woman's soccer player. She is one of the best women's soccer players in the United States today. She is a Christian, and she's a very outspoken Christian. She was invited to participate on the national team, women's soccer team. And in terms of her soccer game, it's a no-brainer. She belongs on the women's soccer team. But the women's soccer team wants to promote a LGBT agenda. Mm-hmm. And she says she can't do that. She's been kicked off the team. Mm-hmm. And there's a spin to that. The spin is she is full of hate. That's the spin. That's marketing. Mm-hmm. Really, a spin is just marketing. That's all it is. They don't understand her at all. She's probably has more love than the people who kicked her off the team. But they call her full of hate. This is Western ways of we put spins on what God does. When God moves and God takes stands and God does things, We have our spins on it in the West. Christian love and integrity is often called hatred or bigotry by the world. Just, they cast out demons by the prince of demons. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. And it's sin. It's full-blown opposition to God, is what it is. The West will say to a Christian, you should not do missions. Because if you do missions, you're not really showing respect to the other people's religion, right? You hear that. You hear that in the West. What they're saying is missions is disrespect for other peoples. That's a spin. What they're saying is the work of God is something that is from Satan. It's disrespectful. That is full-blown opposition to God. Guys, do missions. It's right. It's what God wants. In fact, if you don't care about missions, then you don't really care about the heart of God, because God's heart cares about missions. Your own stories, you know, some people are amazed, but not everybody's going to be amazed at the stories that you tell. Mm-hmm. If I tell someone about God healing me and saving me, there are people who will say, oh, that's just coincidence. That's their spin. Or they will say, you probably don't really have the facts right. Mm-hmm. That's a spin. You see, full-blown opposition to the work of God right here in America. See, these people, these sorts of people, they're convinced miracles just don't happen. And so when you say something that seems to smell like a miracle, then there's got to be another explanation for it other than God did that. Because we already know God can't do stuff. This is how they think, right? And these people, I think of Jesus when he's talking to, he's telling this, the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, you know. And I think of when he says, well, he has Moses and the prophets. Well, they won't listen to Moses and the prophets. He'll listen if someone rises from the dead. And Jesus says, if he won't listen to Moses and the prophets, he won't listen if someone rises from the dead. And these people are like that. They won't believe if they actually see someone rise from the dead, because they'll simply interpret it a different way. Oh, I didn't see that right. That can't be right. That's a spin, is what it is. That's opposition to the work of God, no matter what. And it's right here in America. Every culture has their opposition to God. Different cultures have different ways of opposing what God does, but every culture does it. So, how do we deal with it? So, first thing I think we need to understand is this is normal. We shouldn't really be surprised when people oppose the work of God. They did it with Jesus. What makes you and me think if they did it with Jesus, they're not going to do it with us? They're going to do it with us too. And so it's okay. Don't get bent out of shape about it. Don't worry about it. Just understand it's fine. I need to walk with God. And what I need to not do is let the opposition change me. Just walk with God. See, that's what the opposition's trying to do. They want to change you. They either want to change you or they want to change the people who see it. One or the other. Second, know the Word of God. If we are not grounded in the Word of God, then when people say, you're hateful, you're bigoted, you won't really know better because you don't really know the Word of God. But if you know what God actually says, then you actually know that what they are saying is crazy. But if you don't know what God says, you're going to listen to them. And so know the Word of God. Get this book inside you. It needs to be in your mind and in your heart. This is God's Word. God's Word comes from God. It's God's communication to the human race. Sometimes people say, well, I want to know what God says. And but they don't really read the Bible. And I would say, well, do you read the Bible? Well, no, not really. Well, why don't you start there? Mm-hmm. Start reading the Bible. If you want to know what God says, start reading the Bible, because that's what God says. Now, obviously, that doesn't address every single thing that goes on in our lives. And oftentimes when people say that, what they mean is, I want to know what God says about whether I should take this job in Dallas or take this job in Atlanta. And the Bible doesn't exactly, there's no verse that says Atlanta, Atlanta, Atlanta. That's not there in the Bible. And so, but the deal is this. If you want to know that, you know, should I take job A or job B? It helps to know the Bible. Not because it says Atlanta in the Bible, but because the Bible fills our mind with the principles of God. And as we begin understanding how God thinks, we approach the decision the way God thinks, because we actually know how God thinks. Mm-hmm. It changes how we approach the whole thing. Know the word of God, guys. If so, in the face of opposition, in order to stand against opposition, you got to know the word of God. Otherwise, you're going to cave into it. Okay, a lot of times when people oppose you, they say, that's just coincidence, or that's treason, or you're abandoning your family, or whatever it happens to be, whatever the spin is that they put on the work of God. In a lot of cases, you can probably just ignore it and just drive on. You don't have to address every time everybody says something to you. It actually here doesn't say that Jesus says anything back. And don't change your actions to please people. That's really part of the temptation. When the opposition comes, we want to please people. And if you please people but ignore God, that's a really bad trade. That's a really bad trade. You just gave up God so you can please somebody. Don't do that. Jesus, because of these accusations, did not stop casting out demons. He kept doing it. 4. When opposition comes, Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Right? Mm-hmm. Romans 5:8. So, that soccer player, Jalene Hinkle, who got kicked off the national team. And by the way, on that issue, even the people who are pro-LGBT recognize that she belongs on that team. Mm-hmm. They've written about it in the papers. They know she got kicked off the team because she's a Christian. Basically, they know that. Everybody in that world knows what's going on. The best thing she can do is to love them. That's the best thing she can do. See, they think she's full of hatred. And the best argument against somebody who thinks you're full of hatred is to just love them. Because when you love people, at some point, they're going to see it. Sooner or later. And not everybody may see it, but there will be people who see it. And there will be people who may push back and say, what do you mean she's full of it? You guys are crazy. Love them. The love of Christ is the best opposition the best weapon, against opposition. Is to just love people back. Now, it's no guarantee. I mean, Jesus loved people back, right? And in the end, he was crucified. And so I'm not saying love them and everything's going to go wonderful for you. I'm simply saying love them whether it goes wonderful for you or not. That's the right thing to do. Just love them. They may continue to persecute you too, just like they did with Jesus. But okay. That's normal too. Finally, there may come a time to confront people. So I told you here, Jesus does not confront them. But for the same accusation, he does confront them. Later, in fact, in the same book, Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees say, in chapter 12, he casts out demons by Beelzebul. Okay, Beelzebul is like the prince of demons. That's basically what that is. And so it's the same accusation. And so in chapter 12, and Jesus responds, he says, every kingdom divided against itself will fail. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself, Jesus says. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Satan, how do your sons cast them out? Because they had people who were casting out demons, right? So if I do it by Satan, what about yours? And Jesus is actually confronting them on the accusation. And there's a time for that. There's a time when people say, you know, you come to Christ, you're abandoning your family. There's a time to say, no, I'm not. I actually love my family more. And to stand in that. And to love them. And to show them, demonstrate that love by loving them. And Jesus, in Matthew 12, Jesus is pushing back. There's a time to push back. And we need God, his direction and wisdom, to know when is it time to push back and when is it time not to push back. When do we just keep our mouths shut? Because there's a time for both. Okay. Application. If you're amazed at Jesus, I want to encourage you to not just be amazed, but to commit. To go to that step. Give him your life. If you face opposition for following Jesus, be willing to stand. Let me just close with prayer. Lord, I want to pray for the crowds. The crowds who marvel at what you do. And I know so many of them. Some of them respond. Some of them repent. Lord, I want to pray that you turn amazement into repentance and commitment. That they would see this, when you work, that you are working. And it's important. And not just go on and live their lives. And Lord, I also want to pray for those who face opposition. Give us grace. We need your grace when people falsely accuse us of all kinds of things. It happens, Lord. We know it happens. And we need you because we want to not necessarily respond in a loving way. We want to snap back. Show us how, when to be quiet, when to speak, and when it's time to speak, how to speak with grace, seasoned with salt. Let our words be full of grace, seasoned with salt. I pray for that, for this body here, when people falsely accuse us of really being from the devil. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, for he has already gone through this. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm.